You're listening to Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It's Tuesday morning, August 23rd. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and I'm joined this hour by Representative Christina Shelton. We've been talking about an open letter that she wrote to her state senator, Eric Wimberger, about the subject of school lunches, and where he asks, you know, can someone explain to me why we should have free meals for children? And the representative has done a great job of explaining that in the open letter here on the radio, but she'd also like to do that in person. And you know, you have definitely taken the high road and invited Senator Eric Wimberger to discuss this further with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, what I would love is if we could have a committee hearing, Pat, to talk about this bill, the Healthy School Meals for All bill, because that is the most public and democratic way that we discuss with stakeholders and leaders and experts the key issues that we find in our communities. But as you know,
the number of Democratic authored bills getting a committee hearing.
Yep.
Not what it used to be, is it?
Yeah, I think what's the number? It's like over 380 Democratic authored bills in the assembly, 7 making it to committee. And how many passed, Pat?
That's probably a zero. But I mean, just even getting a public hearing. Here, Grandpa's going to reminisce now. When I was in the legislature and Republicans were in the minority, we had about 40% of Republican authored bills at least got the courtesy of a public hearing. And Republicans are doing the same for roughly 3% of Democratic bills, at least the courtesy of a public hearing. So I stepped on you when you said the next logical step would at least be a public hearing on this bill.
Right. Well, when Senator Wimberger asked, can somebody please explain to me why this bill matters? I don't want to explain that to him on Facebook. I actually would rather not explain that to him in an open letter. I would like to do that in a public committee hearing in the Capitol, where we could come together and have an honest, constructive dialogue about the issue and about the bill. But alas, you know that that's not going to happen. So I wrote this open letter answering the senator's question is why is this important? But then, you know, he also posted on Facebook, in my opinion, there's no justification for universal free food for kids since those who need it get it. And so I fear that the senator has already made up his mind. You know, he kind of asks this question, but then he retracts it and says, actually, I don't really care. I don't really think there's a justification. And so I wanted to outline to him the impact of this program on my and our community, because Senator Wimberger is my senator. He represents my assembly district. And I know the communities that he represents because I represent them too. And I talk to the same, we're talking to the same people. In fact, we launched this bill out in Pulaski in the Ashwaubenon School District, which is a suburban school district on the west side outside of the city of Green Bay, just passed a resolution supporting this bill and urging lawmakers to take action. So this isn't an urban, again, doing air quotes, school district issue. So I have taken 3 steps, Pat, in my good faith attempts for negotiation. One is I'm inviting Senator Wimberger to the September Healthy School Meals Coalition meeting. If he comes to that, he will have access to over 80 statewide member organizations and key stakeholder people who care passionately about school meals. I am calling on him to ask his Republican colleagues to bring this bill to a committee hearing so we can have that discussion in public. But then lastly, I am inviting Senator Eric Wimberger to lunch. So if we're going to talk about lunch and school meals, we should do that where lunch happens. And that is the cafeteria, the school cafeteria. So I'm asking him to meet me in September in one of our wonderful Green Bay area public schools for lunch, where we can eat a meal together and talk about the state of school meals.
He writes something that really shows the difference between Republican politicians or ideologues versus the people that you talk to, many of whom are Republican voters or Republican leaning, but they are people who still have a sense of compassion. And I see that in the following comment from Senator Wimberger. Proponents of, you know, free school lunches base it on a convoluted concept that a child who gets public money feels embarrassed and it hurts their self-esteem and development. Therefore, everyone should be on public assistance, managed by the elite knowers. So there's no shame learned with a concept of taking other people's money by taxation. The answer is apparently not to work it out with parents without the child's knowledge, like is done now. Definitely no larger social political agenda at work. Senator Wimberger, no real person talks like that. No real person knocking on the door says that. When you're talking about, you know, the elites and the, and this one is especially good, the concept of taking other people's money by taxation. Anytime I hear that from a politician, I already know you have disqualified yourself from public service, because you're then depending on, if taxation is theft to you, you're depending on the whims of elites who decide they will or will not fund education, will or will not fund lunch. And that is just not something that American democracy is about, Representative. I have to feel the Republican-leaning people at your doors do not talk like this guy.
It's so funny you said that, Pat, because I had to read this this comment post about five times to try to make sense of what he was saying. But I, this idea that it is about the elite knowers, right? The elite knowers. Does Senator Eric Wimberger think that the Ashwaubenon School Board are elitists? Does he think that the Pulaski School Board president and school board members are elitists? Does he think that teachers are elitists? Does he think that farmers and growers who have come to me and said, we have seen a tremendous economic boom and growth due to the fact that districts need more lettuce and carrots and cucumbers, and we have been able to hire more helpers and more farmers to help us get product. Does he think farmers and growers are elites? Because those are the people that I'm talking to every single day. And the truth of the matter is, Pat, is the person who sounds like an elitist in these comments is Senator Wimberger himself. And the fact that he is projecting his own that onto others says a lot about his type, his leadership in the Senate, unfortunately. And that is just me being brutally honest.
Well, and it's well deserved, because, again, keep in mind that Senator Wimberger, like every legislative Republican, has put the legislature on a nearly 10-month paid vacation by their own choosing to do nothing for most of the year while collecting a paycheck and sitting on a roughly $5 billion state surplus. They are squandering it, hoping to use it for tax cuts targeted toward the wealthy, not putting it to use this year by people are, that are in need. Now, you've already outlined how your proposal can be funded, but the question remains, aren't there other things that could be done this year with that state surplus that benefit Wisconsinites of all stripes?
Absolutely. I mean, I've been on doors every single day. I'm knocking at over 50 doors a day for my reelection campaign for November. And by the, you know, just talking to people, and I tell people all the time, whether you vote for me or not, if I win in November, I will be your voice in Madison. And it is important for us to have this dialogue. The number one issue in my community up here in the 90th is inflation, rising costs of gas, food, housing, transportation. It has been crippling for families. And we are sitting right now on a over a $5 billion budget surplus. That's billion with a B, as the governor likes to say. And what I would love for us to do is to come back into Madison, move and activate and pass a plan that would take that money, that public money, and put it back into the pockets of working families, not into corporations, not into the millionaires and billionaires that are making record profit right now, not just in Wisconsin, but around the country, but into working families, helping them to offset the cost. You know, we have families right now that are going back to school in a week and a half. Rising costs of health, childcare. I mean, families are trying to get back to work. Mothers are trying to get back to work. If you can't afford childcare, how do you expect people or even have childcare? How do you expect people to get back to work? And the other part is, I was at Target yesterday with my kids getting the, you know, purchasing the items that they need to get back to school. Those items, pencils, pencil cases, you know, binders, and it's over $100 per kid for my kids to purchase those items. So families are squeezed now more than ever. And the fact that Republicans have gaveled out and sent us all home for a vacation is it's immoral and it's lazy. And I call on them to bring us back so that we can put some of that public money back into working families.
And maybe one of the things they could do is, after a decade of kicking and screaming, they could acknowledge that expanding Medicaid into what's known as Badger Care here makes sense, not only from a human standpoint, but from a budget standpoint.
Absolutely. Look, we passed on, expanding Medicaid last year. I spoke on the floor passionately about it. It would have brought in, I think it was like $1.6 billion in additional state revenue. That's money we essentially left on the table. It would have expanded childcare or healthcare, to an additional 90,000 Wisconsinites. They walked away from it. They walked away from extending health insurance to folks who need it and additional state revenue. And they said, look, we don't need that money and we don't need that assistance to help people, working families. It doesn't reflect the values of the state of Wisconsin. It doesn't reflect the needs or the wants of the folks I talk to at the door every day. And my goal when I am out in community every day is letting people know that I am working hard for them and that they should be voting for Democrats up and down the ticket, because Democrats are voting for them.
In a preview of coming attractions tomorrow in our 9 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to one of your colleagues, State Representative Jody Emerson of Eau Claire. And then she is going to introduce not one or two or three, but four women who are running for legislative offices across Western Wisconsin. We talked about recently the gap in voter registration. Wisconsin has the third highest voter registration gap in terms of how many more women than men are registering to vote. They are clearly motivated by something. I expect them to talk about it tomorrow, but I expect you've probably heard one or two things about what motivates women to vote this year.
Well, I'm so excited. Jody's going to be on the call tomorrow. She is one of my favorite folks to work with in the legislature. She's such a firecracker, and I know she's working her rear off over in Eau Claire. So, Jody, if you're listening, keep kicking butt. Yes, women are fired up. Families are fired up. But even beyond that, Republicans care about choice. They care about reproductive justice. It is not just women. It is people who are going to be impacted by a lack of choice in their reproductive care and in their family planning. I was outdoors yesterday. I met with a woman. She was a Democrat. Her husband was a Republican. And she looked at me and said, my husband was outraged at the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and he's considering voting for a Democrat this year. But absolutely. Young women right now are mobilizing. Here in Green Bay, we have a Women's Rights Green Bay group that has thousands of members on Facebook. These women started off with organizing demonstrations back in the fall of 2021. Just last week, they hosted a benefit concert at the Tarleton Theater here in Green Bay. They booked three different local bands, and all of the money went to helping women access the abortion care that they need out of state. And so we are seeing activation and organizing at a level we never have, but we know that we have to translate that anger into action. And that seems to be happening with these voter registrations. So we got to get them to the polls in November, and we got to keep pushing.
This final question sounds tongue-in-cheek, but I actually do mean it seriously. Republican gubernatorial nominee Tim Michaels has flip-flopped on several things already, everything from the Donald Trump endorsement to what he would do about the State Elections Commission. His latest flip-flop was he was only going to take maximum donations of $500. He's flip-flopped. It's now he'll take the full $20,000 donation. So I ask in all seriousness, somebody who currently continues to say the 1849 abortion ban mirrors his beliefs. Do you think it's still possible he will flip-flop on that even and recognize what he's losing in terms of even Republican women who think that that's too much?
It's certainly going to be interesting, Pat. I think where you see Tim Michaels coming is on, he's on the Trump train. And if Trump says jump, Tim is going to jump. And if he says, move on these issues, he's going to try to align himself with Trumpism as much as he possibly can. And I think possibly to the end of his, and it will be to the end of his campaign when he loses in November, because he is so out of touch with what Wisconsinites want and where we stand. I mean, to say that you personally align with a law from 1849, that was 1 year after the California Gold Rush. Give
Says
me a
so
freaking
much.
Break.
That's right.
I mean, it would be funny if it wasn't true.
Representative Christina Shelton, this was great. Let's do it again soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good day.
We'll be back.